Hi, everybody. We are back in the Well Said podcast, and I have a guest here with me, and I'm very excited because she's also a fellow Minnesota girly from my Minnesota crew out there. And I'm very excited to have this conversation because it's important. It's about dating, and my single girlies, if you're sitting there and you're wishing that I would talk about this, I am here to talk about it today. Alejandra, hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You might recognize her voice, by the way, from Two Hot Takes, but Morgan was on, what, 2 weeks ago now, I suppose. So this is another Two Hot Takes episode. We've got a little mixed in here, mm-hmm. but either way, Alejandra, would you just give yourself like a quick, like, so yeah. people know who you are, elevator yeah. pitch, I call it, but you don't have to do like the business elevator pitch.
For sure. Yeah. I know she said that and I was like, oh my God, I wasn't prepared. Like,
my resume. I have done this.
I've got to go update my LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Hi guys. I'm Alejandra. You might know me from Two Hot Takes. Mm-hmm. And I, as Sid mentioned, I'm originally from Minnesota. I have been in Los Angeles now for 10 years. Crazy.
Wow, that's a long time.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
My whole 20s.
My God.
Yeah, I know. And I am a legal recruiter. That's my corporate job. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's you. And yeah, you want a puppy? Me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think, yes, I make that very known. I want a puppy so bad. I just met her baby and she's so perfect.
My little fuzzball. I call her fuzzball more than I call her actual name.
What is Rock Deacon, right?
Deacon, yeah, my mom's maiden name. Yeah, I'm like, I have to think about that for
it's
a second.
It's so regal, but yeah. like it fits her because she's such a little classy girl.
I know, in her little sweater. I'm like, we're so obsessed with putting clothes on her. I never thought I would be that guy. I never thought I'd be the mom that's like, I got to put her in a little outfit. Yeah, no, I totally am.
Oh, 100%. I know
you
that.
Just wait.
I will. No, I know I will. I will. Yeah. We'll probably have matching sweaters.
Yep, uh-huh. The yeah. other day, I mean, even with yeah. this, I brought her over for Christmas to my mom's house. I'm wearing this sweater.
Color coordinated.
Yeah, color coordinated with Perfect. The gray and her gray. And I'm like, oh God, it's so just like sleek. And neutral color.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, I love it.
We love that. I love it.
Today, we're going to be talking about all things like single girl era. And I don't want that to be cheesy because it's not. I feel like we see episodes of podcasts or like social media stuff. And it's always like your single girl era. And it's like how to like capture that. Well, like, why don't we just talk about what it's like to be dating right now and like what casual dating is like and why we feel guilty about it. And then just all the pieces about what single girl era we thought it meant versus what it actually is. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk a little bit about like what to actually focus on when you're improving your relationship with self. I asked this morning, I was telling Alejandra this, is I wrote on my Instagram. So if you're not over there, by the way, you should go over there because I always ask questions before I record. And I just said, like, we're talking about single girl era. What the heck should we talk about just to make sure we're hitting on all the points? And I got a chunk of write-ins. I mean, like 300 within 3 hours, probably.
That's
like, I mean,
crazy.
They're still coming in and I'm like, I'm sorry, I got to cut it off. I love you guys, but there's a ton of overlap. So let's just start with a few of these. I think it's just like perfect way to start.
Yeah.
The first one was how to be happy with yourself when everyone around you is in a happy relationship. And people alluded to being the only single friend, the only single one in your family. Mm. And then like how that hurts your confidence. And this is like definitely a couple society. And even I think holidays make it a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This time of year is so tough because we've now entered that like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's, right?
Oh
it's
God,
all just bang, 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 bang. And all the engagements are popping up. So this time of year is
tough.
It's tough.
It's very tough. And it just, people kept asking like how to be happy with yourself, mm-hmm. With everyone around you being happy within relationships. And I have friends that are like newly single too, just different friends scattered around. And they ask me this all the time. Just cause they're like, what's your point of view on it? And I don't think that there's a recipe for how to be happy. I think we'll talk about what to lean into, but personally, I would say you have to know who you are and you have to give yourself grace that whatever you were in was probably not as shiny as you think it was.
Yeah.
And looking at people and comparing people is not like, how do I say this? It's actually not the grass greener. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the grass is always greener. We always say that.
Right.
But it's actually not as green as you probably think because I think we see from the outside what we want to see, especially mm-hmm. when we're hurting. So let's say we're feeling lonely. We see that everyone else is not lonely.
Yes.
Let's say we're feeling not confident. We see how confident everybody else
yes.
is. So we
yes.
see what we're missing.
For sure. And I think if you really think about it, the grass is not always greener. In fact, sometimes you don't know how good it is that you have it until you don't have it. Mm-hmm. And I think what I've tried to focus on is like the grass is green where you water it. Mm-hmm. So like give the attention to the other things that maybe are in your control. Maybe relationship status is something that you want to work on. It's not happening in the way that you want it to, but let's focus on the other things that you can control and that you can improve in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I guess going back to that original write-in is like how to be happy for other people.
Yeah.
For me, at least, I mean, if it's not obvious, I am a single woman.
Yeah.
And so I've been in the thick of it. I mean, I've been a part of like multiple proposals this year, engagements.
Yeah.
Morgan's was one of them, Morgan and Justin, my cousins and things like that. And in those moments, like, yes, it's tough sometimes, but I think I remind myself it's not about me. Like this mm-hmm. moment is their moment and you have to trust that you will have your moment, just not yet. You just have to wait a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And when that moment comes, you'll know why you had to wait a little bit longer.
Yep.
And I think just knowing that there's more to life, right? Like maybe you're not mm-hmm. celebrating a relationship or an engagement or a proposal or an anniversary, but there's other things you can celebrate. Like maybe you hit a fitness goal.
Yep.
Maybe you had a career win. Maybe you just, you know, woke up feeling happy that day and feeling healthy. Like there are so many other ways that you can celebrate yourself. I feel like society wants to celebrate couples a lot.
Yeah.
Like with all of these Hallmark holidays.
I agree.
Right. And I think as a society collectively, we need to focus more on celebrating the people who aren't in a relationship, right? And being intentional about that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And society does choose to celebrate the people in relationships, which is so hard.
Yeah.
I forgot about this piece of it that relates to all you're saying is I always tell my friends, listen, when you're looking around and you see people in relationships, you don't see the behind the scenes.
Yes.
And some people are in relationships that they don't feel confident in. Mm-hmm. Some people are in relationships that they know that are not going to work.
Yeah.
And they're just sticking it out because they feel like they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You don't know. And that's not every relationship, but I'm just saying, imagine if you were in the thing that you wanted to force, mm-hmm. you would be one of those people likely that are like forcing something to work when it really isn't working.
Oh yeah.
And remember when you go through a breakup, and you're feeling single and you're feeling down because we've all been there.
Yes.
You will see the good in the really, really bad.
Yes. That is so, so true. And I've had those moments. I don't know if you felt this way. I know you're like engaged newly.
Oh yeah. But I remember I was in the trenches for a while.
For
you know
sure.
What I mean?
And then trenches.
I wasn't in the trenches and I was very single. So it was like, I get it.
Yeah. But you make a great point because I think oftentimes we look at the relationships and we look at the cute things like the matching pajamas, you know, and things like that, especially around this holiday time to come back to that theme. Like, you know, we're freshly out of Christmas time, sliding into the new year. And what I will say is I sometimes look at it and I'm like, okay, but if I were in that situation, would I genuinely be happier? And oftentimes the answer is no.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, I don't even want that. I just like the idea of that.
I know. And your relationship to self probably has to heal too.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually what I found when I was like, oh my God, I wish I was in this.
Yeah.
I wish I was this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
Come to find out, I am not in a good place. Like I actually had a lot of healing to do. I had a lot of reevaluating what my focuses were on myself because when I found myself down in the dumps and in the slumps, mm-hmm. I usually was spending a lot of time in bed. I was not working out. I wasn't really eating like how I usually would. I wasn't taking care of myself as much as I would. Those are all things you have to improve before you can look forward.
Absolutely.
So I love that question. And I think a ton of people can relate to that. I have another write-in, and I'm going to read verbatim because I felt like it was so relatable to a ton of different write-ins. This one person says, I almost said the name. I told you, I almost say the name every time. I'm like, oh my God, why do I do that? Okay. I miss my ex and I keep hookup buddies around because I'm lonely. I want to learn to be happy alone. I want to look for someone, but they tell you not to look. Not sure how to navigate this. The hardest part right now is missing my ex. He checks so many of my boxes.
Oh, where do you want to start on that one? There's a lot to unpack.
I know. I'm like, maybe we start with the, I miss my ex and keep hookup buddies around because I'm lonely.
Yeah. Okay.
And learning to be happy.
Right.
Or alone. Yeah. Learning to be happy alone.
I think that's where this person needs to start. Like mm-hmm. focus on learning to be happy alone. Mm-hmm. Your ex is an ex for a reason. We all know that. These hookup buddies, they sound like they're just short-term fulfillment. There's no long-term play there. It's just a low-level pleasure that's just temporary and it's fleeting, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that will not be fleeting is the relationship that you have with yourself.
Yes.
Everything else is fleeting. And not to be pessimistic, but I'm a child of divorce.
Yep.
So even the minute you get a ring on your finger, and this is not, you know, to be like a downer, that still isn't for like, you know, you, the hope is that it's forever and you guys live happily ever after.
It's not a guarantee though.
It's not a guarantee. Nope. Like my parents have both been divorced multiple times and that's not great, but you know, they've eventually figured it out. They're really happy now. You find, maybe you take a detour to get there, but
yep.
You know, I say all that to say, it's not like once you get that ring, that's the end all be all. If that's your goal, not everyone has a goal of marriage, but you have to find that comfort and happiness and value in yourself because that's the only thing that nobody can take away from you.
I completely agree with that. And I'm obviously a child of divorced parents too. Yeah. And like they haven't, you know, successfully found people since just because of, I think, the things that they're battling within themselves, to be totally honest with you. And that's not a bad thing though. I think they're close to it. I think we're actually turning a corner right now. Nice. And I feel like if both of them have kind of found somebody that they're like really in a beautiful place with, but it took a lot of work on self.
Right.
And that's the only direction forward. This person talks about having like the hookup buddies and then just missing the ex. Mm-hmm. I think when we're too close to needing to heal too, and you hook up with people, you hope that that quick fulfillment will fill you up and fill your cup. But there's a reason that they're not filling your cup further too. Like those are clearly not matches and you probably know that.
Yes.
Like they're in the hookup buddy area versus like the ex area or somebody you want to pursue because something's missing, obviously. Yeah. So putting your energy into something that maybe is missing a ton of pieces, probably not the best idea.
Right.
Missing your ex, I think when we've been so close to somebody, obviously like in a relationship, doing all the things, it's very easy to fall back into the like, they didn't want me. Like I miss them. Yeah. It's like the want what you can't have.
Yes, yes.
It's not actually the like, I really wanted that because all of our fights were so amazing. And I loved when we went out to the bar and we didn't get along. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, you forget that the want what you can't have or the feeling rejection comes into place.
Yeah.
And that's the pieces that I think you have to find in yourself. And it takes a ton of self-talk, talking directly to yourself, reflecting, journaling, alone time. I'm not joking. I did more of that when I was single and honestly into dating in like a successful relationship because it was healing. Mm-hmm. I wrote down my thoughts and I could realize, oh my God, I'm lying to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, you nailed it. One thing I wanted to say, and you actually just hit on it, is that it's so important to take space after every relationship that you come out of.
Completely.
Not just to heal, because sometimes there's not really a healing needed. Like I came out of my last very serious relationship that was like 4 years. And ever since then, I've actually been single. It's almost been 2 years. That's a long time to be single. Mm-hmm. And that's been the best 2 years. I shouldn't say the best 2 years of my life because I don't want mean to like demean that relationship.
Of course not.
But in terms of self-growth, I will say like I've done more self-growth, more self like discoverment, if that's a word. Discovery.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I think it is. I've used it before, so I hope it is a word.
Well, we're going to learn very shortly then. But all of that, and that doesn't happen typically when you're in a relationship because what I didn't realize from being in a relationship for so long is when you're in a relationship with somebody else, you have this like second voice in your head, whether that's a second opinion, second set of feelings. You know, one of the highest forms of loving another person is consideration, and you're constantly considering them in everything that you do. And so when you finally get out of that relationship for the first time, it's just you. It's just your inner monologue gets very loud. And it's on you to do the work, like the meditation and the journaling, if that therapy is in your, you know, toolbox.
It should be in your toolbox. Can we just flag that for a second? It should be in your toolbox.
It should be. I was recently in therapy. I want to continue it. I've learned a lot there. Mm-hmm. I didn't even necessarily like, quote unquote, go for a specific reason that I needed. I just went to go learn more, but I wouldn't have done any of those things had I been in this relationship because you don't even think about those things. You're focused on this other person, again, back with the theme of consideration, and you're not giving that same consideration to yourself.
Yep.
So to this writer, this person who wrote in, you know, take space from not only your ex, but also these other people that you're hooking up with to just be by yourself, get to know yourself and like learn what you want because it sounds like she's confused.
No. And I know that she talks about like, I want to look for someone, but they tell you not to look, not sure how to navigate this. And I have a ton of people that wrote this in. Like, I'm like, it's annoying. People said it's annoying. I like stop looking. Well, it's like, how do I stop looking when you least expect it? Like that's the hardest part. I'm not least expecting it. I'm not in that period of time.
Yeah.
But I think it comes after the self-discovery page.
Yes.
And I think once you turn that page and you make the step into, I'm going to work on myself, things actually really change.
Yeah.
But you being unwilling to do that will keep you in a turmoil spin, because I've been in the turmoil spin. A lot of that looks like looking at his Instagram story over and over and over again and checking how many followers that he maybe got. Oh my God,
that is a game that I never want to play again ever in my life. Ever. I won't. I won't.
I can't and I won't and I will not do it. Like, I won't. Ignore. Get rid of it. Stop doing it.
No.
Changing their name in your phone, like to do not text this person.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. All of the things. Like I just was thinking of all the things that you can do in that period of time that we get stuck on. So I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. And sorry, there's a siren going by, so you probably can hear it. But I believed in the when you stop looking, it will come and it will happen. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it happened for me, weirdly. Yeah. But I will say it was almost like I didn't stop looking. I was actually like stiff arming it. Like
I was actively resisting it. Okay. That's
which is a little more extreme, because I think I'm kind of extreme in those ways. And I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to be single. Like,
do or die.
Yeah. Do or die. I was in, I'm like, you know what? I'm not ever letting a man disrespect me, like getting in my way of my relationship with self. I'm on my fucking journey.
Period. Yeah. I'm getting excited right now for you.
But I was like, I was deep diving it here.
Yeah.
And I would say I was resistant to it, that I almost missed it. Yeah. But I didn't, thank goodness. So I'd be curious what your take is on that.
My take on that is it's interesting, because I kind of am in that same camp, in the sense that every serious relationship I've ever had actually came when I was not looking. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me, because I want to like buy into the fact that like you, like when people say don't be like looking or whatever, it'll come to you when you're not looking. Kind of true in my experience. Like that's the lived experience I have, is that it actually has always come to me when I'm not looking. But in that same breath, what I will say is I was not actively resisting it like you were.
Okay. Yep.
I was open to it. Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe the difference. And I think maybe we reframe that, right? Like maybe don't tell your friends to stop looking, but maybe tell them to stop hyperfixating on it and put in like the law of detachment, which I'm really big on. I detached myself from the idea that it needs to be the end all be all, and it needs to be my biggest priority, right? If you're really wanting to find a partner and dating is a priority to you, be intentional. Be intentional with dating.
Of course.
Be open to it, but don't make it your sole focus in life. I think that's what people are getting at, because you give off this like desperate energy.
Yes.
And you know, men, women, whoever you're dating, they'll pick up on that.
Of course they do.
I think it's kind of, you're getting at this, like you have to do the healing, the self-work, and then you show up as your best self and you're not quote unquote looking for it, because you're comfortable in who you are.
Yep.
You're secure in being alone. People will pick up on that and it'll attract them.
And it changes the way you carry yourself. Like you're talking about, like how people like will pick up on that. I'm thinking back to when I was a little bit resistant, but I definitely was open. You know what I mean? But I was definitely resistant. So it's a little more extreme in this sense. But I was worried about myself. I didn't think twice about, because I can think of when I was in this mindset shift. I didn't think twice about like, oh my God, at the airport, what if I see someone? I better like look really put together. Like I go to the bar with the intention of like maybe seeing someone.
You wouldn't?
Meeting somebody. No, I kind of stopped that. Oh. I showed up as like, I'm going to go and I'm going to have a really fun time, because it's going to make me feel secure. I'm going to go about my business, not with my head down and so invested in all my stuff, but just open to the fact that there are people coming and going and admiring people around me, versus like I'm going there with the sole intention that maybe I'll find someone, maybe I'll meet someone, and maybe I'll hook up with them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. But that plays into like what we're talking about.
Oh, it's completely.
It's like you're not going to the bar and you're getting ready because it makes you feel good.
Yes.
And you're getting ready to go with your friend out with your friends, because it's going to be fun, not with the purpose of finding a man.
Yeah.
Now, all of that said, I do think if you are serious about dating, you do have to have some intentionality.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
Right? Cause if you lose that, like I did recently, I was so off dating. I wasn't putting myself in positions to even run into anybody. I'm like, unless they're at Erewhon or Pilates.
Yeah. I don't know that they will be. They might be, but we don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But maybe, but probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I just told you the story of I met somebody recently that I've been seeing. Super organic, really fun. Mm-hmm. Happened to just meet this person doing something I would already be doing.
Yes.
That doesn't always happen. And I wasn't intentionally going on like a hike to run into somebody, right?
Right.
I was just living my life, but I was open to it. And I was trying to put myself in positions of getting out of my own home. I think sometimes people forget that, like, he's not going to find you if you don't leave your house.
No, I know. That's, you know? No, I love that you added that about intentionality of, like, just being open to it and doing things that will put yourself out there.
Yes.
Like going to a fun girls night and having, like, cocktails. Yeah. Or going on the hike, like you said, like, yeah, just getting yourself out of your house.
Yeah.
You've got to create that pattern of, like, doing things outside of your home. Like,
yes.
Pro dating apps to an extent, yes, but, you know, you don't know the intentions of the person behind the app. I'm not even gonna, like, dive into that because that's, know, a whole another, a like, arm,
yeah,
of, like, conversation that it's like, it will go way the hell over there.
Yeah.
But I'm not against it,
yeah,
but it would be a backup to me. If I were dating right now, that would be my backup. That would be more like a,
yeah,
maybe I'll find someone, mm-hmm, on there, but I better know what the hell I'm looking for because I know myself.
Right.
And I know if I see that weird photo that I was like, that's a flag. I'm not clicking. I'm not swiping or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that helped with that conversation and that piece because that's a lot. There's a lot going on there. And I want to say you have to respect yourself first, like, period, end of story.
Yep. Bottom line is just spend some time by yourself.
Yes.
Just cut off all these guys for a second.
This one is talking about how people change for men. Mm-hmm. They become too available. They become too aggressive in their hangouts. And I believe this was somebody who was not single, but talking to the single girlies.
Yeah.
Just in the way that it was worded. I'm like, okay, I think I'm making the assumption.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Changing yourself for a man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we all know.
I'm so guilty of that in the past, not anymore.
Agreed.
Thankfully. But, you know, I had a really, like, one of my best friends, she noticed I was kind of making myself too available for this guy, like rearranging my schedule. I remember this so well and I appreciate and love her so much. I think we all need friends who will do this. She was like, Alejandra, you run an incredibly tight ship. You are one of the most structured people I know. And I see you, like, moving your workout and, like, bending over backwards, losing sleep to, like, make these dates work with this guy who does not prioritize you is really painful. It's not you. If you even do get in a relationship with this guy, he doesn't really know who you are. And he's going to be shocked when he realizes how type A you are.
Yep.
Because you're acting, like, super carefree and go with the flow. It's not you. And I was like, you're right.
So relatable. I can't. Like, it's so relatable.
It's so embarrassing. I'm exposing myself right now.
No, it's not embarrassing at all. Because I know so many people out there right now listening, guy or girl, by the way. I know I reference girls because we are, but it's like guys and girls.
Guys and girls. Yeah. Like, oh, I can, it's okay. I can miss Pilates. And I'm inside, I'm like having a meltdown. But but you know, I'm acting like, no worries, whatever.
Who cares? Doesn't matter. Yes, I'll go to the bar on a Wednesday. Oh my God, fun. No, I love drinking in the middle of the week.
Nothing more than to, yeah.
Oh no, I'll miss my workout in the morning. No, it does not matter. Absolutely. I don't care that I didn't brush my teeth before I went to bed because I stayed over at your house after the bar.
Yeah, no, I don't need my 9-step skincare.
I'm like, no, it's good. It's really good. We're really close. Like, I've never heard anything about his family, but we're having so much fun.
No, worth it. I just think this guy's worth for sure throwing off my entire routine for. No, exactly. So like, don't do that because here's why. You're hurting yourself at the end of the day. Not only is this guy not getting to know you for who you really are.
Oh my God. Amen.
That part, right? Like if you get in a relationship with this guy, you're both going to be in for a surprise when you're a different person. And then two, like you're not living your best life. Like you're compromising and relationships are compromised. Like I do get that. Sometimes dating involves missing your skincare routine. Sometimes dating involves not making the berries work out at 7 a.m. the next day.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's okay every once in a while for the right person. But like, be real with yourself and be real with them. Be like, listen, I'm really regimented and this is very unlike me. So I just want to like not make this the pattern or the precedent moving forward and just have an honest conversation about that. But like changing yourself for a guy to like you, you're fooling yourself.
You're fooling yourself to think that that's going to work.
And like, if it does work, you're going to be really miserable.
Well, it's not really your vibe then. No. Like if your vibes aren't like on the soul bias, like the first level, if you're not like jiving at all and you've got to change everything to make it work.
Yeah.
There's no way.
No.
I'm sorry. There's just no way. I mean, I've been there. I've done the thing. I've changed the schedule. I've changed. Ooh, this is a tough one to admit to, but like considered not moving and then not moving because like of somebody. Yeah. Like moving like my life, taking a job somewhere else.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, that's tough.
I did that.
You did that?
I did that because I thought it was going to work with someone. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, it doesn't work. And, why the hell would I stop my life from moving forward for somebody?
Right.
That's scary.
That's
scary. And the fact that it would get in my way to move forward is the immediate flag that you have to see.
Yeah.
Like if I can't move forward with all the passions and the things I want to do, and this person is like holding me back because they're like kind of back here, but like, oh, no, I want to make it work with them. Wrong, 1,000 times wrong.
Yes.
1,000 times wrong. And like you said, I've told this to my sister too, who was like dating a little bit ago. They will not know who you are.
No.
They will not know who you are because you're showing up as this, like you said, in your instance, like very chill flow girl, like who cares?
Yeah.
Me, I remember it was like going out to the bars and they had a ton of girlfriends. And like, I was like, oh, that's so fun that you guys are all his friend. It's so silly that you just grabbed his butt. So like cute. What happened? How's that?
Yeah.
That's so fun that you're all friends. No, like not my vibe at all. Like too friendly with other women, like not my vibe. So just be aware of those things.
I mean, you just said it best.
Amen. This one says, how to meet someone not on the apps because they're constantly finding that they suddenly change their mind out of nowhere. Okay. So they're saying they're meeting people on the apps, but they meet them and it seems like everything's going well. And then all of a sudden it's like, actually, no, I'm not interested.
The guy or girl is no longer interested. Yeah.
And I think because we read this one before and when we were kind of trying to organize, and to me, it kind of falls into the, I can't trust the person I talk to category because this one says an anxious dater. There was a ton of write-ins about anxious dating. To me, it sounds like there is some sort of attachment going on and you're giving off. And I don't mean to assume, but this is just my assumption based on the information I have.
Yeah.
You're giving off clingy vibes.
Yeah.
And the other person is picking up on those clingy vibes and those like, I need something. I'm eager for something. There's a difference between overly eager and excited to be here. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's two different conversations happening there.
100%.
I don't know. What's your take on that?
I do see your take. I think I have a little bit of a different take.
Yeah,
actually.
I love that.
Like
That's
a
good.
Different read on it. My read is that, because I think I've experienced this, is you go out with somebody that you meet on the apps, mm-hmm. right? Everything on paper seems to line up. And you have maybe a date or two that are great. And then the person just drops off suddenly. And maybe this person is reading as they just changed their mind. They just decided they no longer are into what you have to offer. I don't necessarily think that that's fair because just because I go out with you doesn't mean I'm like going to see this all the way through now.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
from the other person's perspective. Yeah, yes, I love that.
My perspective is like I've gone out with guys and then I'm like, yeah, it's just not a fit. And maybe I'll even give them a second date just to see. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be very like, I don't want to say I'm not judgmental at all, but I can just be very specific about certain things or particular.
You know what you want.
I know what it wasn't until really recently. Actually, really? In fact, it was the opposite. I didn't know what I wanted.
So you were particular on maybe the wrong things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it wasn't until my like therapist that, pointed that out.
That's a really big finding. And the fact that people could be doing that same thing in dating right now.
Yeah. If you don't know what you want, you're shooting in the dark. Mm-hmm. Like when I went to my therapist, the two main themes that came up, this is a quick little side note.
No, I love it.
Back on track.
No, it's good.
I think it's relevant though, is the two things for me were career and relationships, like dating. Those were the prevalent themes. And in talking about dating, she basically said to me, Alejandra, you tell me a lot about what you don't want, what you don't like, what you'll never tolerate again. You never talk about what you do want, what you do like, what you're looking for. So she had me do this exercise of like, make a list literally in your phone of all the things you want in your partner, as specific as you can. And like, listen, this isn't a checklist because there's no perfect man.
Yep.
It's a unicorn, but just what he looks like, start to visualize who that is. Because I don't think, you know, you're going on dates and you're just looking for the things you don't like. I'm like, wow, it totally changed.
Shutting that down.
Exactly. Mm. Totally changed my outlook. So back to this, you know, it, from my perspective, it can be like these guys go out with you and maybe one or two dates, they think they're buying in and then they realize they're not.
And that's okay.
That's okay. People can change their minds.
Oh, I love that. I like that direction though, because I wasn't thinking of the perspective of the other person.
Mm.
I was thinking of the perspective of maybe you're giving off some vibe that is like, oh, I'm like, yes, I'm excited. Oh, I'm let down again.
Oh.
So you come in again, overly excited. Oh, I'm let down again.
I see.
And then you keep going down and down and being like, maybe this is it. Oh, and it's just this too much of this wave of behavior.
Right. No, that's
it could
a
be
good
either.
Though, it could be both.
No, it could be both. It could be either. Yeah. But I like that you have a different take because that just, it gives much more opportunity for people to find which one are they?
Which
vibe
resonates.
Are you giving off?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just the fact that like you have to recognize when. And this is, I think, the toughest part of dating, recognizing when it is actually not you. And that's always so like just finding this. I'll explain. Cause it's like, okay, what are you saying? Like, Gouda over there.
Let me explain.
Yeah. Let me explain. Going on dates with people and then finding that they don't like quote unquote pick you it's actually not about you. Yeah. You're not parallel in that moment for whatever reason. It could be maturity. It could be they have a thing with somebody else that's like still lingering. Yeah. They could still be hurting. Like think of the times when you've been hurting and you've tried to talk to somebody and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like it's not that, oh, I don't like that person for X, Y, and Z. It's not a you thing.
No.
It's a them thing. And in order for two people to come together at the right time, at the right moment in life, it takes a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're struggling to find somebody, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because you're not letting any which person come into your life.
I love that. That is so true. For two people to genuinely come together, neither of them is hiding the ball or like trying to be someone they're not, and connect on that level is a rarity. I think society has convinced us that everyone's out here finding their match.
Oh my God.
You'd be shocked how many people are with the wrong person. I don't mean to sound like, you know, doomed. Like I don't want to sound like a pessimist here.
True.
But there are a lot of people who are not matches and they think they are. They've convinced themselves that they are. The sunken cost fallacy is very real.
Absolutely.
You think you've got to see it through now. I was a victim to that. 4 years, like shit.
Wow.
My 20s are gone. This man has, you know, taken up pretty much my entire 20s. I got to marry him now.
Yeah, like, you're like, I better because I don't have any other choice.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're more fearful of being single right. than you are holding on to a relationship that doesn't work.
Right. But you know what? I have never been lonelier than in the wrong relationship. Period. Full stop.
Oh my God. That is the most relatable thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yes. I remember being on the couch next to my boyfriend being like, I feel so lonely. And I'm sitting
empty.
Empty. You know how fulfilled I am when I'm by myself doing something I love for me? Way better.
Like it feels like the perfect Saturday. I don't know. That's what I think about. Like that's like the feeling that you feel.
Yes.
But I do remember sitting on the couch next to two exes that I've remembered feeling this way and being like, I'm empty. I know this isn't it, but I'm in it and I don't know how to get out. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Lord have mercy. I feel all of these things. And right. I hope you're finding something in this because I'm like, everybody who's in a relationship is listening and probably is like, oh shit, I have felt that.
Yeah.
And maybe you're in a relationship that doesn't feel right. And I hope that you're listening to your body because your body tells you crazy things and reacts.
Oh, Sid, one of the things I want to talk about later at the right time is your nervous system and paying attention to your nervous system around people.
Let's just talk about that.
You want to talk
about
it now?
Yeah, let's just do it because I feel like it's so prevalent and it's so true.
Well, one of the themes that like, you know, there's a couple of different themes we want to hit on aside from dating, but like securement in yourself and like relationships and the way that you view and value yourself. One of the things that like has become big with me personally that I've just kind of adopted and embraced in the last year is paying attention to my nervous system.
Oh, wow.
Not just in dating, in friendships too, and situations. Like how do I feel when I'm with this person? How do I feel when I leave this person? And there's been so many instances where if I had listened to my nervous system, I wouldn't have even gone downstream with that person. And you're like, you just said, your body will tell you, like you will have physical reactions. It's unexplainable sometimes other than just your body, your nervous system, your gut, you know, your heart, your brain, all of those things will tell you when something's not right. You just have to pay attention.
You have to be listening for it. I've had that experience with friends. I've had that experience with relationships. I've had that experience with self when I'm overexerting myself and then the anxiety comes on and I feel terrible. And it's like that you have to be aware enough in your like, you know, process and time spent with self enough to figure out, okay, there's something happening here. This doesn't just happen because you can put a label on it that it's anxiety. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I do have anxiety pretty bad, but at the same time, it's related to something else. I don't just have anxiety because I have anxiety. Yeah. I have anxiety because I overexerted myself and I'm easily like overstimulated, which means I have to be careful if someone or something is overstimulating
me. Yes.
So it's more about diving deeper. And I made a little list just because I think it puts it into categories because this is literally the first one on the list. And it's what to focus on when you're improving your relationship with self. Mm-hmm. Health, money, relationships, space, fitness, and challenge. It sounds long, but it's not that crazy. And I promise I'll explain why. But it falls, the health one is the number one.
The health one
should
is
be
number
the number one.
100 Without that, you don't have much.
You don't have anything really, honestly. So I mean, I wrote down like, what is your general health look like? Listening to your body, like Alejandra said, and like, are there healthy things that you want to learn that you haven't like leaned into? Mm-hmm. Like for instance, like as simple as like taking a multivitamin. I know that sounds insane, but we always like think about it. And I thought about it for a long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, even me taking a multivitamin where I'm not deficient in areas that I probably was day to day, I feel different. I wish that wasn't the case because it's like, that's not a magic pill.
Yeah.
But I promise you getting enough nutrition is a big deal. And maybe you haven't listened to the need to do that.
Oh, it's a huge deal. I'm the biggest proponent of that. Like health is such a big part of my life in both like the way of supplementation and healthy practices and living a healthy balanced life, but also fitness. Like I know you are too. Yeah. Like it's a huge part of your life. It's a big part of mine too. And I genuinely like those are non-negotiables for me. That is like the pillar of my life, honestly. And not to sound funny about it, but like living in LA, like you're surrounded by that. Like health and wellness is such a big theme in that city. So you can't help but also just kind of subscribe to it a little bit.
Yep.
But I think it's for the best. Like,
agreed.
There are worse things to buy into.
Oh, completely.
You know?
Yeah.
So yes, everything you just said, sometimes it's just getting that iron that you're deficient on. Sometimes it's getting, you know, especially here in Minnesota during the winters, you're not getting that sunlight. You're not getting that natural vitamin D. Supplementing for that can be the difference in your energy for the entire day, which can translate to your mood, which can translate to the relationships that you have.
And how you show up.
Yeah.
And magnesium for sleep because you're not getting enough sleep.
And anxiety.
Leaning into like sauna and meditation or like reading that you've been saying you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Do it for your want to do it. Don't do it to just start a habit. That's what I always say to people. It's like, it's not just like, don't add another thing to your list. I had a habits episode. I'm like, it's not about adding to your list. It's about leaning into things that will make you feel better. And it's not humanly possible to do it all. So I wrote down money. Like, are you secure? Like, are you making smart choices to stand on your own? Mm-hmm. Because that's important to not lean on anybody. Mm-hmm. Because again, whether you're in something or you're not, you need to be prepared and need to be able to stand on your own because the security in yourself will make you show up as a different person in that relationship.
Yeah.
Security in yourself is everything. The minute you feel insecure or less than, you change your demeanor. Mm-hmm. I really truly believe that.
Oh, 100%. You do change your demeanor. Mm-hmm. You're not leading with confidence. You're not leading with self-respect and value. And it could be just being products of divorced parents.
I think that probably has something to do with it, to be honest.
It's amplified. Like you've seen how things can change quickly and financial situations can be tense.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that security in yourself, you know, it can really muddy the waters in terms of your relationships and more specifically romantic relationships and like partnerships. But I also think that having that in order on your own creates less dependency on another person. Yep. I mean, we know that, right? Like you want to have financial independence. I think women have been incredible, just specifically speaking from the perspective of a woman in recent times. Like women, we're girl bossing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Girls, a lot of my girlfriends make more than the men they're in relationships with. It's not about that. Like, right. It's badass. It's not like about who makes more, you know, but it's just so interesting, right? Because there's still a wage gap. So we have more statistically speaking to overcome in order to achieve that.
Completely.
And it's just like, it's becoming more prevalent. It used to be like a little less common. I don't know what that says about the way society is trending. I don't know. Take that as you will. It's just the reality of the data points that I'm noticing. But all of that said, I think that's amazing because also like when you're connecting with a man or, you know, just this is me speaking from the experience of a woman,
right? Of course, yeah. When
I get into a relationship with a man, the conversation of money needs to come up if we are going to like, you know, plan a life together and get into a serious relationship. But I know that I'm not in it because it's like this person provides financial security that I don't have on my own and vice versa.
Yep.
And I think that that creates for a more authentic, healthy connection because there's not this like sense of I need this person or this person's going to take care of me. This person's going to quote unquote save me.
Yeah. And that anxious dating comes into play.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God, they're going to provide for me. Oh my God. Like I'm going to be saved. Thank God.
Right.
I'm going to be saved.
I have to tolerate
not be that
him flirting with other women because he pays my bills.
And I've seen it. I hate to admit it, but I've seen it happen and it's
real.
Not good. It's real and it's out there and it's more prevalent than you think.
Yeah.
So it's security and money, even if it just means for the first time ever watching a YouTube video and making your budgeting sheet.
I'm
serious. Like it's as simple as like, let's uncover the issue. Let's dive in.
Right.
Let's just get one thing right today on this Sunday that is already having Sunday scary. So you might as well just freaking lean into it.
Make
it scarier. Figure the freaking shit out. Okay.
Secure the bag, sis.
Seriously.
Just every time.
The other four that I wrote down were relationships. Like what are your five closest relationships? What do they look like?
Yeah. Cause you're a product of those.
Yep. And I'm not talking about like necessarily your parents like and being divorced, but I'm talking about the friends that you have around you and who they are. And like, again, nervous system listening. just figuring out like, am I around the right people? Yeah. Like, am I surrounding myself? Like, for instance, is there anybody in my friend group that I would like, a friend of a friend, like, would I be interested? Like, no, because I don't like the behavior of that person. Well, what does that say about your friend? Just saying.
Ooh. You know what though? This kind of relates back to what you said earlier in the sense that like, oh my God, I just lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay.
Oh my God.
Dude, I do it all the time. Oh, I do it all the time.
I fully just lost my train of thought.
No, we'll come back. It'll come back to you in like 2 minutes. So just interrupt me. Like, just be like, hey, wait, I remember.
Okay.
But it's true though. It's like you're around these people all the time. They're your inner circle.
Yeah.
If you're not liking your inner circle, I mean, it kind of says a lot of reflection around you and who you are and what you're surrounding yourself with. So just like be mindful of those things and fix it now when you're not worrying about nurturing this other relationship that's on the side that you're worried about. Right.
Right.
I wrote down space. Like it's as simple as, is my space clean and does it make you feel cozy? Those are my two things. Clean, cozy. Those are my two words.
Cozy.
Because I mean, for me and who I am, whoop, I keep hitting my mic, is I'm like, whoa, flinging this hand around today. It happens sometimes.
Oh, I mean, it's probably very heavy. I don't blame you.
She's just got some hardware on. Nothing to see here, kids. Nothing to see here.
Zoom in on that thing.
Zooming. No, I'm kidding.
What's your editor's name?
Zivka.
Zivka. Zoom in on that one.
Zivka, get a zoom here going. No, I'm kidding.
Still.
But no, it's more, it's like for me, I know I'm an anxious person. I know my nervous system gets like a little overstimulated when I've got too much going on.
Yes.
If my space is all over the place, if it's dirty, if I'm avoiding things, my space reflects my inner monologue and my inner behavior and how I feel. So if it's not clean and I don't feel like it's cozy, I am not getting enough sleep. I'm not feeling balanced. I'm not showing up as my best self. And it's true. And so maybe you've forgotten in your, I would say, self-discovery phase where you're feeling really shitty, because there is a phase of that and you got to recognize it. And you come into the like, okay, I'm ready to pick my shit back up again.
Yeah.
And you're like, you look around, you're like, what the hell happened
here? Who threw up here?
I'm like, there's stuff everywhere. There's like dirty old socks, like under there. There's like bad food in the fridge that went bad like way a long time ago. Like what's going on?
Yeah.
Reset.
I can tell that you're like me just being in your lovely home that you're very organized and clean.
I'm a little, I mean, too clean and organized.
I did see Jordan rubbing down the maybe it's both of you then.
It is both of us. We're so OCD. Perfect.
Love that for you. See, I need that in a partner too.
Like this is stressing me out. My pile.
I'm stressed out too by it.
Little pile. It's my like items. Things have sent me pile.
Yes.
And like some have gone on social media and some haven't yet. So they're sitting there because it's like
to remind you.
Don't put it in the closet.
It's the chair.
Yeah,
for
the chair.
You.
This is my chair.
That's your chair. I get it. Listen, I get it. But I'm very organized. Like all OCD for sure. Like if you come to my house at any, and it's kind of a flex, like you could come over at any given moment and shit is immaculate.
Like clean crystal.
Everything's in order. You could get in my car. Oh, you need a ride? No problem. Get in.
That's how I am too. It's insane.
Spotless, right? It's like probably one of my better traits. All of that said, I'm just setting the stage because when my mental health starts to decline and things are going bad, you will know because you'll come up, you'll see my space and it's disorganized. My bed's not made. I make that every single morning.
Oh yeah.
If the bed is no longer getting made and the clothes is on the floor, I'm down bad. Check on me because it is a reflection, like you said, of what's going on in my mind. And I'll like walk up into my room and I'll see it messy. And I'm like, even if I didn't realize it, I'm like, as silly as it sounds, I'm like, oh, I'm really going through it.
Yep.
Something's off because this is not like me.
Yep.
And maybe you're not naturally a clean person. So to some people, they're hearing this like, oh, good or bad, the shit's on the floor.
Yeah, like sorry about it.
Right.
It's fine. Okay.
Then maybe that's not your thing. That's fine. But I guess what we're both getting at is like, try it though. Like sometimes cleaning your space and organizing, whether it's like organizing a drawer, your closet, your car, will do wonders for your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Holding onto stuff and clutter physically can translate into like physically holding on to things in your mind.
I've processed that. It's actually how this is going to say, wow, I'm not going to go on a tangent, but I'm just going to say it.
Do it.
When I had so much, I had like a little bit of a shopping problem. My grandma was really sick and I like started leaning into that. I was like shopping a lot. I like started like basically collecting clutter, like clothes that I was like, why am I buying this?
Yeah.
And I had to have someone come over after she passed and we went through my closet. I got rid of 2/3 of my closet.
Wow.
2/3. Shit, I've never worn tags on stuff.
No way.
It was like, I'm not joking, like a boulder was taken off my back.
I was just going to ask you, did you feel lighter?
I mean, in the weirdest way, like so much lighter. Yeah. I felt like a different person. Yep. It seems and sounds totally crazy, but I was holding on to stress and holding on to like, not like trauma, but, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like pain, maybe.
Yeah. Unprocessed emotions. Yes, maybe.
Exactly. Through things.
Right. That's so and I'm not real. Like that. See, you recognize that though. That's the self-awareness.
Just, yeah.
I believe I'm a huge, one of my, journaling things that I wanted for this new year for me, not like I won't go on a tangent, but I treat my birthday as a new year. That's my personal new year.
Oh, I love that.
So I journal every year on my birthday. Yeah. Like I treat the way people do New Year's resolutions on my actual birthday.
Wait, why is this like a revolutionary thing in my brain? I'm like, oh my God.
Well, because it's your new year, right? Like that's your new year of life.
I love that so much.
I can tell you more about it later. Like I'll actually get into the details, but one of my like things that I wanted to focus on in my year of being 29 is less things, less clutter. I don't need 15 purses. I can't physically wear that many purses. Like, and when I got rid of all that stuff, to your point, it's crazy how much lighter I felt and just more mentally healthy.
Yeah. And you feel secure in yourself again. I don't know. It's a very weird concept, you guys, but like lean into that and pay attention to it.
Yeah.
The last two things I had were fitness. I said, are you prioritizing moving your body and not using it as motivation or waiting for motivation?
Explain that.
Because and being in fitness, like I see this all the time, I lose my habits, me as a person, but I'm also speaking from like a person I know, let's call it. I lose my habits because I was waiting for motivation. Like I don't have the motivation to get up and do it. I don't have the time to get up and do it. I haven't been there for a while. So like, I just am not coming for a while. I've lost my motivation. I've lost what I've worked on so hard on and it's gone. All of those things are wrong. You do not wait for motivation to bring you to the gym because if you wait for motivation, it's not going to come. I am never, almost never, I should say, motivated to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
But by the time I get there and I do, I'm probably about three sets in, I'm ready to freaking kick some ass because I'm already there and I'm sweating. So I might as well just do it.
Yeah. You got your playlist on.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm lifting or I'm at my like bar class that I like to go to or whatever it is that I'm doing.
Yeah.
If you wait for motivation, you will likely not ever lean into it. And yes. I believe that wholeheartedly because I've felt it and seen it. Mm-hmm. But I will say you don't see change from sitting on your ass.
No, no.
I'm sorry. It's just, it's the fact of the matter. So in a way, at times I had to look in the mirror and be like, stop feeling sorry for yourself and just go do the damn thing.
Go do it. Just do it.
Yep.
Just go.
So making time for moving your body is, it's proven to produce serotonin. So it's not like it's like some willy-nilly like float around thing. It's proven to work.
Oh, this is so real. I mean, you're preaching to the choir and I know that you understand the gravity of that, just being in fitness and promoting that lifestyle. And I'm more on the other side, right? As like, I don't know if I could say consumer of
fitness.
Yeah,
you are. But yeah, of course. Right. Yeah.
Like I'm the one taking the classes. I'm the one I have a personal trainer. Like I believe in the power of movement more than I've seen what it's done for me in my life. Genuinely, I wouldn't be the person I am without it. And that sounds dramatic. But in terms of like what it does for my mood, there's something for me mental, like if I have a big day, I have to work out in the morning. It actually has nothing to do with like, oh, I want to lose weight or I want to feel skinny. Those might be goals on the side.
Yeah, of course.
But for, like
recognize that. Yeah.
I can recognize that. I'm not above that vanity or anything. But for me specifically, it is a form of therapy for me. It's how I get out a lot of like, you know, frustration. I burn a lot of like energy doing that. But not just that, especially because I'm a morning workout person. There's something about like accomplishing something first thing in the morning, showing to yourself, I can show up physically and mentally and overcome, I can do hard things. Mm-hmm. You go into your day with that mindset of I can do hard shit. Mm-hmm. I can go sprint on a treadmill. I can go push around these heavy kettlebells. Mm-hmm. I'm that bitch. Like, sorry, I don't know if you can swear on the podcast.
No, we do. Okay. Oh yeah. I've been dropping F-bombs. Okay, good. Oh yeah.
I didn't ask you.
Oh, no. I've been pretty PC. Of course PC, you can. You can be PG-13 or R. It does not matter here. Let's go.
All right. You shouldn't have told me that. But like, you know, I'm that girl. And I go into my day and I'm like, I'm a boss. Like I can do that. There's nothing else. That's the hardest part of my day. Sprinting 10 on that treadmill at Barry's on a 5 incline. It doesn't get any harder. So I can send that email. Yep. I can clean that closet. Yep. I can walk the dog. Like if for me, and again, everyone's different, but it's the mental effect on it trickles down into all these other facets of my life. And it just improves everything.
It feeds your other things.
Yes.
And I wish that I wish it wasn't as simple as that, but it is. And I guarantee if you get in the pattern of it and you start moving your body and that you remember that life ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
Like right now it's Christmas break, people. Yeah. I haven't worked out in probably like maybe a week.
No,
that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I'm just enjoying myself. Yeah. And guess what? Tomorrow or tonight I fly to Arizona, but tomorrow yeah. I'm hyped to go to the Lifetime there. And I cannot wait.
Fashion Island or Fashion Square?
No. Well, Biltmore, but I'm going to go to Fashion Square too.
They're both great.
But I'm like, I love them all. And yeah. I mean, obviously you guys know that I work for Lifetime. So like I get hyped to go to all of them and see all the yeah. people and like, but I'm like, I'm hyped to go lift heavy because yeah. I've been like living, eating, chilling. And yeah. I like it. Food actually powers you. So like, I actually will be able to lift heavier. It sounds bananas, I know, but it's true.
I was just going to say, you're going to have such a good workout uh-huh. too.
And I can't wait.
Yeah.
And I'm going to feel good.
Yes.
And to be honest, my body needed a little bit of a rest and I feel great.
Your body needs that.
Yeah. Like, and I've been moving. Yeah. I've been playing pickleball. I've been going on walks. Like, it's not
you're
like I haven't been
out.
Like,
you're playing pickleball. Well,
I know, but please. I'm a little crazy. So, you know, yeah. like, so just knowing all of those things and that life yeah. ebbs and flows and in different periods of time,
yeah,
you're allowed to take breaks. You're actually supposed to rest,
should
believe
breaks.
It or not, from someone in the fitness field. Like you yeah. should be doing that. So just knowing that, you know, I don't know. I love this, but
I love it too. And also like not to get too philosophical about it. And I would love to hear what you have to think about this.
I love it though.
But there's something about like, if you put this guilt mindset, your body will almost like hold on. Like
it's true.
You know, if you are a little bit more like you give yourself that grace and you don't hyper fixate on the cookie that you're eating on Christmas and how now you need to burn it off. Like I feel like when I'm more carefree about it and I give myself grace knowing, you know what, it's the holidays. I'll be back at it in 5 days. My body actually like, I don't know.
It's true. It's a real thing.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're almost like hanging on. If you're trying to lose, I don't know what your goals are. If you're trying to lose weight, you're almost going to hang on to that weight because you're stressing yourself out.
It's because of the stress.
The cortisol.
So the cortisol levels will actually make you hold on to like the fat
yeah.
and different things. Water. I mean, like water weight stays on just because of different, I'm not even going to open that can of worms,
yeah.
but it is because of the cortisol levels. And yep, your body will hold on because yeah. you're in a state of stress.
Right.
And it's just trying to keep you safe. That's all it's trying to do. It's just trying to be like, okay, you need to be safe. Like you're freaking out, you know, like you're stressed. So it's making you more secure. But when you let go
yeah.
and you're just like eating healthy yeah. and like moving your body when it feels good
yeah.
and taking rest when it feels great, you will see change. Yep. It's proven. It's not like, this isn't made up shit. Like it's just, it's real.
You heard it here first.
I'm
folks.
Sorry. It is. It's true.
Yeah.
The last just thing, science. I'm like, it's science. Science rules. The last thing I said was like, challenge. Are you taking steps outside of your comfort zone? That's all I wrote. And this can be any of the other steps.
Yeah.
Right. So leaning into one of them, leaning into fitness, leaning into doing something different.
Yeah.
Working from a coffee shop. Cause you're like, I'm usually very isolated, but I know I need to get out there and put myself out there more yeah. and just be around people again. Like any challenge, I'm not talking about like signing up for a marathon. I'm talking about like something teensy tiny. Like I don't yeah. know what people were on this year with a marathon running.
I did mine last year too. That's
did you
why
really?
I'm laughing that you said that. Yes, because I was like, mine actually was.
Wait, it was your pick. Yeah,
I did.
Because
yeah.
some people want a huge challenge, some yeah. people want like a tiny challenge.
Right,
but
I'm
laughing because I think everyone and their mom
right
ran
now.
A marathon last year.
I know,
and I didn't. I missed the memo and I'm like, everyone's training. What am I doing?
Everybody. I only did a half. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I'll ever run a full.
I definitely will not be running a full.
I don't think I'll run a full. I did grandma's half.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah,
though.
It was so fun. And back to my whole like birthday thing. So yeah. grandma's is always like the week of my birthday.
Oh,
and it was my last birthday in my 20s. I turned 29. So I was like, what better way to ring in that last year of my 20s than to like do a challenge and run a half marathon. I've never run one
That's
before.
That's so badass.
Like, so that was what? One of my challenges that I set out for myself and I did it. It was so exciting.
But how good do you feel?
Amazing.
Because you wrote a goal.
I wrote a goal and I can literally, like I took a picture of it and it the date's on it too. And I'm like a year later, I completed that goal. It's
and you
so
crossed
cool.
it off.
Yeah.
It's That's so cool, so cool to like do those things.
Right. And again, to your point, it doesn't have to be a half marathon.
No.
It can be something as like challenge yourself. Like one, my recent challenge has been like when I'm at a function and I don't know anybody, don't go on your phone.
Ooh, that is hard to do, but it is, it's so much easier to retract or, you know, and be like, I'm going to just go in my hole. Like,
where
I don't
are
care.
You? Sid, where are
no,
you?
No.
You? I just walked in. Yep. Like you're meeting with your friends or whatever, and they're yeah. not there yet. It's okay. Be the first one. Don't wait in the car. Go inside.
And no one thinks you're awkward. No one's looking at you like, oh, awkward. No, they're all like, they're like, oh, I wonder who that is. I wonder, wow,
it's
she's
confident.
Beautiful. I love her dress. Like,
yeah.
it's more, it's, you think the negative talk is going to tell you what people are saying.
Yeah.
It's not saying, people are not saying those things.
Everyone's worried about themselves. We are all like somewhat narcissist just by nature.
Oh yeah.
I promise you, people are worried about how they look, how they're presenting, what their phone looks like. They're not looking at you and thinking those things. If anything, someone who can like just be comfortable and not looking at their phone and stand alone, people are actually going to be like, what is she about? Who is she? She's confident.
It's attractive.
It's attractive for sure.
And maybe that is your challenge the next time you go to a function or wherever you are, is being alone and trying to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. I would like to remind everybody before we switch gears into casual dating that you can change who you are at any point.
100%.
Like if you have been feeling like, God, I as a person am very retracted, reserved, not confident. I'm always looking down. I'm not making eye contact. Make the change. Then make the change. Do it one thing at a time. Yes. I did the same thing because I was a nervous Nelly. I made the change one time. Yeah. And then I could. And then I did.
Yeah.
And then the next time. And then I went for coffee with a mentor that I had no idea who it was. And I prepared questions. And the following time, I didn't really need to prepare questions because I felt confident.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now I'm sitting on a podcast where I interview random people.
You're right. It takes a lot of courage to just show up to a stranger's, you know, and be like, hey, stranger, let's talk about the deepest topic.
Exactly. So, and it started somewhere because I was never just like this. I'm not born this way.
Yeah.
You know, so just reminder of you can decide when you make the next change in your life.
I love that because we don't have to hold ourselves hostage to the person we were even yesterday.
No. And don't punish yourself for who you were.
Yeah.
That's not worth it.
No.
It's not going to make change by punishing yourself.
Right. And you can recognize, like, it's not even beating yourself down, but I can just be like, I love who I am, but I don't love this one trait, or I don't love this one habit. I hate how indecisive I am. Let me work on that. Mm-hmm. I have the right to work on that. I can change that. I'm not like stuck. That's not like static, and I can never undo that about myself. You can rewire your brain by habit, building habits.
Absolutely. Switching gears to casual dating, I have a write-in that's just going to take us right into this. Okay. So Call said here, what the hell is casual dating and how do we do it? I'm single for the first time in my 20s and I have no idea how to go about dating casually. Is it bad if I'm talking to three guys at once? Or do I have to assume that every guy I'm talking to is also talking to multiple girls? Also, how do I cut communication off without feeling like a total bitch? I'm not a cold, ghosted type of person, but it feels weird to like send a message saying like, hey, I'm not interested anymore when I don't even know if he's seriously interested. Any tips would help.
Ooh, that is really good. Casual dating. My dear old friend.
I know. You over there. How are you? I hope you've grown. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, there's a lot there. Right off the bat, and I want to hear what you think too. Because to be honest with you, when you said casual dating, what went through my mind is, what do we even define?
That's exactly the point why I brought it up.
Right? Because apparently now, like, I'm kind of new to this too. I wasn't really dating for a while. There's now a talking phase. What?
I know.
What does that even mean? Of course we're talking. We're not like using sign language. Like we're talking. Like
we're getting to know each other. Yeah. Like that's what you do. You talk to the person. That's right. The whole point of
that mean? Like I feel like talking is, especially if you're going out on dates with that person, like then aren't you just dating?
In my opinion, yes.
But talking is a pen pal to me.
I think it stems from like the younger generations. I really do, of like the TikTok, I almost said TikTok, Snapchat, like the chit chatting back and forth, kind of flirting instead of like the, what I would consider organic or like real life way when you're in light, you know, out on a date and you're getting to know each other and you're conversing because frankly, like my generation isn't sitting in the middle. I think same with yours. It's like, we're just sitting right on the cusp of like that generation and like that change. Like I didn't talk to Jordan on Snapchat. Like we didn't get to know each other by sending photos back and forth, like, which would take up, you know, conversation that you'd have on a real date. So in my opinion, that's what the talking phase is. I'm like, oh, talking is dating. Yeah. But when you're officially dating is when you're a couple.
Right.
But it's all like, why am I like, it's like, oh my God, there's so many steps. Like, what if I just don't do any of those steps and we just do it however we feel?
That's my point. Like now there's talking and apparently I just learned this one. There's a difference between being exclusive and being in a relationship. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Apparently that's what TikTok is saying.
Oh, you mean like pre-dating exclusive?
I guess.
Like we're not seeing other people, but we're not dating.
Yeah.
I have heard of this, but I don't understand that because then it's not you, you're together.
I guess.
Well, wouldn't you be together if you're exclusive?
I think they were saying we're exclusively
maybe seeing each other,
sleeping together.
Okay.
And then, but you could still date other people. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
That's really weird though. It's like the why, like if, and here's what I'll say about that is like, if you're finding yourself in one of these situations, ask yourself why. Ask yourself if it makes sense. If you're like, oh, that they want to be exclusive, but they don't want to date. Like, that doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
That hurts my feelings actually a little bit.
It confuses me.
And maybe it's your time to step away, and you're lucky that you had like a weird little symbol or sign right in front of you. If you're all for it, then wonderful. Lean right in, because it's right there for you and you're happy and you're fulfilled.
Yeah.
I think the stages of dating are way too confusing.
Totally.
I will tell you right here, when you're in something that's okay or good, like, because to be honest, I've been in a lot of okay things. I've been in a lot of really shitty things, like a lot more. I've been in one really good thing, and that's what I'm in right now. Mm. Right. So like, it's true. And you know, but I didn't follow any timeline.
No, there's no blueprint. I think like we want to preface before we answer the casual dating stuff. There is no blueprint. Like you don't have to have a talking phase to get to the exclusive phase, to get to the relationship phase. Mm-mm. This is just what society's starting to like kind of tell us, for better or worse. But I think we're both agreeing that there is no like hard and fast manual. It will, when it's right, it will flow. You should have very candid and like transparent, intentional conversations to be clear. But at the same time, like you don't necessarily have to like phase one, phase two in order to get to the relationship.
No.
And to the right end, right? Like if casual dating to me at least means that you are dating around, you're going on dates with several people, you're maybe texting, talking on the phone with several people, whatever that means to you. Maybe you're even hooking up with several people. Mm-hmm. We're going to say the obvious, be careful, be safe,
of course,
be respectful to people you're hooking up with. It's not, in my opinion, wrong to talk to multiple men or women at the same time, as long as you're transparent about it. Like if they have a very direct and express conversation with you that says, I'm only talking to you and I expect the same in return, and you lie, then that's a different situation. But I think when you're casually dating, you should be open and, you know, looking around.
You're there to be open. You're there to be like curious, but not like putting pressure on like finding someone.
Yes.
That's what I think, which is exactly the theme we started the episode with, is like being open, but not pressure, you know, like being, you know, invested in yourself. I think going into casual dating as somebody who hasn't spent time with yourself is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I would definitely not casual date if you're looking for fulfillment in someone else.
Bingo.
That's the bingo was Nemo, nail on the head, like nail in the coffin. Like don't do it, because you will put yourself in a situation where you're seeking from somebody else. It's just how the storybook goes. It's just how it is.
Who you are, and it'll trickle into the other themes of like, now you're changing yourself for a man, and it's bad news bears.
And all of a sudden now you're like worried and sad about somebody that you barely know and that you didn't know 3 weeks ago. And all of a sudden you're invested in somebody you didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you're not ready for that. Like,
yeah.
So just be mindful that you may not be ready. And that's okay.
Spend time alone first.
If you were casually dating, like this person said, is it bad to be talking to three guys at once?
No.
Personally, no. Again, communication is key though. Do you need to tell them, cut communication off with someone and not like ghost them, just like basically send a message saying she's not interested anymore is what she brought up.
Oh,
I would say yes.
So she brought up a really good point, because I've struggled with that too. When you're like, quote unquote, like ending it with somebody like
that you really didn't start with.
Right. Like, what are we ending? We didn't have anything. I always struggled, because when I would like draft these texts, and obviously I'd like have the girlies weigh in on
you
that.
You have to.
What?
They're your girls.
Right. Like, I have some ghostwriters. And you're not talking to me. You're talking to the group chat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know too, and you get it. It's like, hey. And it starts like, hey.
Hey, casual. Comma. Yeah. Hey.
Or formal is what I meant to say. Very formal.
Yeah. Hey, hope you're well. Merry Christmas. What I came to the conclusion with is like, just assume that they are looking for the same thing you're looking for. Yeah. And if they're not, then they're not. No love lost. Like, then you dodged a bullet anyway. Like, if they're like, I wasn't even looking for a relationship. Oh, okay. I misread the situation then.
Yeah.
No worries. Looks like that works out then.
Then you even know? Better.
Even better. Then I guess no love lost.
But always communicate.
Yeah. Because always communicate. Don't
it doesn't have to be so dramatic though. Like, you know, like I've seen guys and I'm just like, you know, they were like kept pursuing, you know, and they were like, we're still casually dating, but like they kept asking for dates, you know, like we're like, when are we going to get together again? And I kept like, Dodge bullet. I'm out of town. I can't do it. And then I just was like, hey, you know what? Right now is not the right time for me. I don't feel like this is moving forward. Or just say like, I don't know that we're like a perfect match. And like, I think that's early to say, but right now I'm focusing on something else.
Perfect.
Like, it doesn't have to be so dramatic. No. I think that we respect people more when we have answers. Mm-hmm. And I know when I've been left hanging, questioning like what I did wrong, that feels a lot worse than someone saying, I actually just am not interested. Thank you so much. Like, it was really fun to get to know you, but we're more friend vibes or whatever. You don't even have to explain yourself or say the why. just saying the situation.
100%. And making it, you've said this earlier, making it more about you, mm-hmm. less about the other person. Like, I am just not in a place, or this is not a priority to me. I don't see this, you know, as something that I want to pursue. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Like, putting mm-hmm. that in a message to somebody, don't ghost them. Give them some semblance of like why you're not reaching back out. And I think it can be solely focused on you. Like, one thing that's worked well for me is saying like, I'm not sure what you're looking for, but personally, I'm like dating for a relationship, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily see that here with you. I would love to stay friends. And then if they come back and they're like, well, I wasn't dating for a relationship, I'm like, okay, then great. Then
perfect.
Then we're aligned.
Also, that energy is not one you want to be around anyway.
That's
like,
what
that's
I mean.
Your like aggressive. Like, it's right. like, oh shit, sorry for reading the situation wrong. Sounds like someone's ego has had an owie.
Remind me later to show you these screenshots. They're so funny. This guy kept like DMing me about like taking me out. I did not want to go out with him. I finally wrote what I thought was a nice message. And I said, like, hey, you know, I really appreciate it, but I'm actually not really like interested in like dating romantically like that. Like, I, you know, I'm just focused on myself right now. Whatever. And then he said, like, what made you think I wanted to date you? Do I look like the type of guy who wants a girlfriend? I'm sorry. You scroll up and literally he was like, would love to take you to Napa. I need a date to the Lakers game. And I'm like, oh, I misread the situation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me get out of your way.
And then he goes like, I guess I'll leave your ring at home. Like, something really sarcastic, like, I'm not asking for your social security number. I'm asking for your time on a Friday night. And I was like,
okay, asshole.
Yeah. He just totally tried to flip the script and was like, I don't want a relationship.
Gaslight. Yeah. Gaslighting.
Gaslighter. Right.
Like, literally, don't get out of my phone then. Yeah. But, no offense. Right.
But get out. But I guess to close the loop on that is like, I did my part. I feel good about the way I handled it because I was very transparent. And whatever, if he wants to sleep better at night by trying to flipping the situation on me.
So
whatever you need, bro. But
you do you, boo boo.
I did me and I was nice and forthcoming. And I think that that was the respectful thing to do.
Absolutely.
If you can't handle that, that's on you.
Well, too bad for you. You need a little bit more maturity in your life, it sounds like.
I'm like, dodge the bullet.
I know that a ton of people had written in about casual dating and talked about like their guilt in it and like also how to put yourself out there. So two things I want to talk about with that is really quick before we just talk about like dating mistakes and do some call sit write-ins, is that you're not a bad person by casually dating. Yeah. You're not a bad person talking to multiple people at the same time if you are communicating correctly.
Right.
Bingo. And then just really quick, I'd love your thoughts on this is putting yourself out there and like, how do you even casually date is what people wrote in. And I would say when I was casually dating, I said yes to a lot more that I like normally would say, no, I'm like, I'm lazy. I said yes. Like my one guy friend invited me to a hockey game to go do something and a new guy friend was there and another girlfriend and I met a new friend on both gender sides and that gave me a new circle. We went out to drinks after. Like it just, you're putting yourself out there just a little bit wider in the you know, net casting that you usually would.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two with casual dating is, and now I lost my train of thought. I like had like a really good point too as my second point. What the hell? I'm like, wait, what was it? It was putting yourself out there a little bit more, saying yes to opportunities. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It'll come back.
Okay. It'll come back.
What the hell? I hate that when that happens. I had it in my notes in my head. I have like a little bullet. I can literally see my bullet points in my head. It's crazy. And now it's gone.
Isn't that the worst? I'm that like, happened to me earlier.
Okay. Well, either way, I hope that one tip helps.
It'll come back to you. Like, I guarantee
it will.
I'll say what I have to say.
I know,
it'll come back to you and just cut me off. Because I actually really agree.
Like,
what I was going to say was actually your point one. It's just like saying yes to more and maybe saying yes to certain dates that I'm not super like excited about. Like I know some people operate in the camp of like, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. Agreed somewhat, but I think sometimes you have to say yes to more than what you're super excited about off the bat because you never know.
Yep.
I actually almost recently canceled on a date. It ended up being an incredible date.
Oh, see?
And I was like, wow, I can't believe I almost canceled this date. Like, yeah,
surprise is kind of fun too, like to be surprised.
Yeah, it wasn't a fuck yes immediately. And then I was like, wow, I'm so happy I didn't cancel that date. So casually dating to me means putting yourself in more positions and situations to where you can like maybe meet people, being open-minded, right? But also casual dating, as we're talking about this, like I wouldn't characterize myself as casually dating right now.
Yeah.
I'm intentionally dating. Like,
ooh.
I'm dating to marry. And that sounds scary to say. I've actually never said that before in my life, but that's where I'm at in life. Like if someone says I'm casually dating, I would say thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
I don't need to shoot the shit with you on a Friday night. I've got too many friends, too many things. I don't need to have like margaritas for no reason.
No.
I'm dating with a purpose right now. And so it's less casual for me. But that said, that doesn't mean you can't date multiple people with intention.
Agreed. it kind of, you can decide if it's your definition of casual dating is actually intentional dating. That's okay. Right, right. It's just dating around. Right. What I was going to say, which actually did come back, thank God, was that you actually sometimes have to speak it into existence.
Yes.
So really, truly like visualizing it and like talking about it and also talking about it with friends. So what do I mean by that? If you're out to drinks with friends and you know that this friend connected to this friend has a really cute friend that you thought was really cute and cool. And now that you're single, you're like, I actually really like thought that guy was really cool. By the way, I'm open to going on a date if they're single.
Shoot your shot.
Who fucking cares?
Shoot your shot.
The worst thing your friend says is, oh, they're taken or they're seeing somebody or, you know, like, oh, I know something that maybe you need to know to like change your perspective on them a little bit. You know what I mean? Or they say, sounds good. I'll see if they're interested and we'll set something up.
And who knows?
You just spoke it into existence. Yeah. You just like did it. You did that thing. So why not?
It's so funny you say that because even just now saying I'm dating to marry, I've literally like never said that before out loud.
It's powerful.
And so anybody watching, like if a guy watches this, they're going to be like, oh shit. Like I said it, you heard it here first. That's where I'm at right now in life. And a couple of weeks, I told you about how I recently met somebody that I'm excited about. Yeah. We're seeing where that goes. And like a couple of weeks before I met that guy, I was talking to my friend and I was like, and I hadn't said this in 2 years of being single. I was like, I think I'm ready for a relationship because I've always been really happy being single. And she was like, wow, okay, it'll come to you now that you just said that.
What the hell?
Things are still evolving, but like the fact that I kind of I spoke it into existence and I opened myself to a connection with somebody.
And then it became, and now we're just going to see where it flourishes to.
Wait and see.
Speaking into existence is powerful.
100 It's powerful. Gosh. I could do a whole episode on just that.
I know, which I think actually that would be fun to do on. Yeah. Maybe we should do one
and
of
visualization because we've talked a lot about that and I'm huge on that.
I am too. We need it. Maybe we do that actually. Okay. Next break or whenever you're back in Minnesota.
Back or
maybe
when I'm actually, or in LA.
When I come out.
Okay.
Because I'm going to come out in a few months.
Perfect.
Okay. Done. Easy. Done. You know that's coming for you guys.
Sign is sealed. Okay.
I love that. One thing that I want to like ride home about with that one is like set your goal in a casual dating. If it's intentional dating, that's okay. Quit being afraid to scare somebody away by saying that you're dating with intention. Why are you afraid of saying that? That will clear the frickin' slate. And now there's like two left over that are actually the ones that are in there in it to win it.
In it to win it. That's
so
right.
I'm just saying like I said it on the first date with Jordan.
Really?
Yeah. I said, I'm not dating for no reason. I'm not going to sit here and like pretend like we're going to be all buddy buddy.
Yeah.
I started with three things on our first date. And again, take this with a grain of salt. These are just my perspectives. And again, at the time, again, I was in a much more intense place. My parents weren't together. I was very like harmed by somebody else. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm seeing people with intention of the finish line. I don't casually date. I'm not a casual dater in general. Like, but this is my definition of casual dating. Yeah. It's dating with intention. So
love that.
Find your intention. I said, I am not in a rush to get married. So like, if that's a problem, cause he was older than I am, like then that's something we need to be warned of right away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really very religious. I'm more of a mindset person, more of like intentional thinking and visualization.
Yeah.
So if that's an issue for you, then that's something you should probably know right off the bat.
Wow.
And it was the first date. We were in the car. I remember.
Respect.
And I was like, I'm just going to, you know what? Because I was always this person that sat back in relationships with people and said, I'm going to make sure that they feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to overdo it. I'm not going to be too much. I'm not going to say too much.
Yeah. I'm going to be neutral.
How did that help me?
Doesn't
help me.
You're just like going with the wind. They're going to tell you who you should be then.
Yeah. And it didn't help me at all. I didn't find what I was looking for until I spoke my truth.
Right. Because how can you find what you're looking for if you're not being intentional about what you're looking for? And I have a lot of respect for that because you putting those three things forward shows how I'm sure he respected that too.
He responded great.
Right.
We're here. We're here.
We're in your home. He's outside like feeding the cats.
I can hear him scuffling around out there.
He's like ear to the door. But no, I think that's amazing. It's also accountability, right? Because saying it with your chest in that way now, like you better double down on that. Like, okay, you aren't religious, like amazing. So if that stops that relationship, are you going to take it back and be like, oh no, never mind. I could be religious. Like it's a little bit of a test to yourself. Like how willing am I to like back these things?
Exactly. And it's always who I was and everything stood true. Yeah. Again, my intensity levels were brought down. Like I'm really like, I'm open. Like if he was more religious than I am, I wouldn't give a crap. Right. I think that's beautiful. I think it's beautiful the way that people show up and find themselves and find security in things. Like I admire it versus being like, this is who I am. I stand it and I'm putting my, you know, what do they call it? Stick in the grass or stick in the ground.
Yeah.
So either way. But this is our final kind of wrap up thought about dating is like mistakes I'm not going to make again. like I said, it goes right into that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make the mistake again of being quiet and not speaking my truth.
That one, that honestly is my, I hate to like be boring, but that really is, it's just like, I'm no longer going to like pretend that I don't know what I want. And weird as that sounds, like, I think I'm very laid back generally speaking. Like I truly am just by nature. So I think sometimes that can be misconstrued and work against me because they're like, oh, she's super chill. She doesn't really care. She's no pressure. But I'm like, no, I need to be a little bit more forthcoming about the things that I am really like bullish about.
Yep.
So I won't be passive about what I'm looking for. I also have a bad habit in the past of like looking past red flags.
I wrote that one down too.
And that's an obvious one, I think, because a lot of people do it.
I mean, yeah, but if we do it and we have to say it out loud to admit to it. Loud.
I know. And it's like, back to the nervous system thing, is that's how I started to tune into that. Like I'd be on a date with someone and they would start to say things and my nervous system would react. Mm-hmm. And I was like, red flag, red flag. Like
the sweats. I'm like my armpits. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes. Or just like that sinking stomach feeling or just your body would just get tense. And I'm like, ooh, that's a red flag. I'm no longer like looking past those and justifying them. I'm like, nope, it is what it is. Take it at face value. I know there's nuance to things.
Oh, of course. But
there's certain non-negotiables. And when they come up, we're done here. Like, just move on. Like, cut your losses.
Cut your losses and move forward. I also wrote down, like, being blinded by the one good option, like, in settling.
Yes.
That was one. Oh, God.
Because there are few. Dating in LA is an extreme sport. So when you find one.
Oh, God.
That's, and let's not even call him, like, perfect or good. He's just, like, not terrible. Like, he's just, like, better than, like, the 90%, which isn't. Bad.
That's really still really, really bad. But you're like, okay, well, this looks different than what's out there.
Like you have a C in the class, but everyone else is averaging at an F.
Yep.
So is that C like the best? No, it's just better than the rest. But I agree with that. It's like, don't let yourself get enamored by this person who maybe like for the first time checks more boxes than the others.
Or gives you attention, which is like
the bare minimum.
The bare minimum. I always tell my sister, I'm like, just because he has a good relationship with his mom and he works out and he has a good job doesn't mean he checks all the boxes.
Just
because
he's not a felon doesn't mean he's your soulmate.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, bare minimum is not good, sweets. Like, no. You got to keep looking. 100%. You got to keep enjoying your own company. And then the final one was like, that I'm worthy of love, being loved and loving someone.
Yes.
A lot of write-ins. And I didn't want to like dive too deep into that, but because it's all of these things that we've talked about wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
But knowing that you're worthy of that love and like knowing that you can and will date again, you can and will find love. You are lovable. It wasn't your fault. I guarantee it. We can all improve, but I guarantee it wasn't your fault, whatever it was that ended. And just not losing hope and faith in that. Like just knowing that you're good as you are and you're going to be even freaking better in a month when you've worked on a few things that you wanted to lean into.
Yeah, that's super powerful. I love that.
Yeah.
I think I said this earlier, but I think for me what that boils down to is like I really believe that nobody can love you more than you love yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to love yourself more. Yeah. Like even when you do find that person, still love yourself more. Like always, like don't love them more than you love yourself. Because if the day comes where they change their mind or they start treating you poorly, you can love them with your whole heart, but you have to love yourself more and say, listen, I need to walk away because I love myself more than I love you.
I love that so much. It's true though.
No one can take that from you.
I haven't stopped loving me. Like still work on myself every single day. Just because I'm in a relationship, the work doesn't stop.
No.
It's not like, oh, okay, I'm sitting in my chair now. I'm good.
Right.
I'm good. No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So keep working on you, regardless of where you are.
Yes.
And if you're in something that doesn't work right now, please be mindful and consider moving out of that thing. Mm-hmm. I have two call SIDS for you guys that you wrote in. By the way, call me. Like you can call me. Call me, beat me, and I will change your voice. So you're good. You're safe. 612-470-7569. I literally have to like see it in my head. I have to like go through the numbers.
Yeah.
Call me though and leave a voicemail. It'll be the same as your write-in. It'll be the same as the text. You can always text me too, but I prefer call. FYI. Mm-hmm. Okay. First one. I need help. There is a cute boy at the gym I go to and we make eye contact and I find we end up working out next to each other very often. I want to talk to him, but get nervous every time and I don't know what to say. What would you do in this situation?
I'm the worst person to ask this.
Why?
Because I literally have never approached a man ever in my life. Ever.
She's like, stay where you are. Don't say anything.
Like, take cover.
Don't look. Don't do anything.
No, don't even breathe in his direction. If he wanted to, he would. Just kidding.
I'm just saying, if I was in this position, because I don't think I've ever like fully pursued a guy, but like, I think I've like dabbled.
Okay.
I would say don't get nervous, like say hi. And because you're recognizing each other clearly, yes. like there's a little bit of sexual tension, at least from your side.
Yes.
Say hi, start to make small talk. Like you can be funny. Like I always like resort to like
the humor.
I'm like, I think you could go a little heavier than that.
Yes.
Like kidding.
Love.
You know what I mean? Like kind of like so poking
good.
Fun.
That's so
And
good.
Then I think things will organically progress.
I'm so lame. I feel like,
what would you say?
Fancy seeing you here. As if I didn't see him there like 7 times last
You're like,
week.
Oh, you again.
You again. Like I'm so, I've like my
That's cute
gate,
though.
No, I'm just like not good at that stuff. But okay, I will give the advice of what I wish I would do.
Which you could.
Which I could. Okay, fine. I would approach him. Some people don't like being approached in the gym. That's the issue, right?
I get bothered. I'm like, please don't come up to me. Right. Not, I mean, if you know me, you can of course talk to me, but I'm just saying,
right.
I'm busy.
I just don't love it. So it's hard because I'm like, oh, it might not be the best. But listen, you're vibing. You keep mm-hmm. making eye contact. I would find a humorous thing to say. Mm-hmm. Like, I love what you said. Like, go a little heavier. Like, that's it. You
that's
know?
It. It's fun. It's poking fun.
Or just keep it real and be like, I don't think we've met before, but obviously we both go here a lot. Like, what's your name? You know?
And like, maybe you're new in the area. Maybe you're not new in the area. And like, they maybe are, but like, I come here a lot. Like, just something about like, I'm making friends and just like, you seem chill and cool. And we clearly like to do the same thing.
But honestly, just short and sweet too. Like, I don't think we know each other. What's your name?
It's easy. It's not weird. No. Especially if you're making eye contact and there's a little bit of tension there. They're probably going to think it's really sexy that you came up to them.
Yes.
Totally. Okay, last call sit of the day and then we're out of here, you guys. Divorced parents and relationships is the title. How do you deal with your love life and with divorced parents? My parents told me about a month ago that they were getting a divorce. My dad moved out and it has just been very hectic. I love my boyfriend of almost 7 months and he has been so supportive and so great with everything I'm going through. And he's just so amazing. But I can't help but feel like my parents' issues are putting a strain on my own relationship as if I am pulling away when I don't mean to. My partner told me that there are times when I won't be able to put 100% in and that he will make up for the excess when I just can't. Oh. But I can't help but feel so bad and like I should be giving him more. I just want to know how you personally feel and deal with divorced parents and a relationship, especially going into a marriage.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't realize she's writing to me, which I was like, oh my gosh,
I
didn't realize.
You seem really like qualified.
I will answer this. And we obviously talked about your parents being divorced, but if you find someone that is willing to recognize that sometimes that they're going to be putting in the 80 while you're putting in the 20, you have found something very special.
Yeah.
You found somebody willing to put in work. And that I think is the key to success is work, communication, all of the things moving forward. I didn't believe in marriage, but this person made me believe in marriage. Jordan,
beautiful.
That's the other thing that I look for. And I felt, you know, I do feel bad when I'm really busy and I traveled a lot for work this year, a lot. And I felt really sad and distant from him.
Yeah.
But that just means that you put in an extra effort to show. Like, I know Jordan's love language is acts of service. So doing something around the house when he's gone or setting up a really fun date is really how I show again to him, like, hey, I'm thinking of you and I'm really like, I'm excited to be with you.
Yeah.
So that's what I would lean into. Another thing is just that your past doesn't define who you are. Like, you can only define what's moving forward. My parents are my parents. They're separate than me. Did they have me? Yes. Are there things that I learned from their breakup? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So actually I can probably see a little bit clearer than the person next to me without that guidance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That last part is where I would say I relate to to your answer is like, my parents got divorced when I was a lot younger.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really like, wasn't going through a relationship where I could directly apply and it didn't affect my relationships as much. But to your point, like, you can kind of distance yourself in the sense that like your parents, that's their relationship.
Yeah.
You are the creator of your own destiny and your own future. Take what you learned from it, apply that to yourself. Don't let it make you jaded either. Like, I know you said you didn't believe in marriage. And I know a lot of people who have divorced parents who do feel that way because they're like, I haven't seen it work out. So how could I be a believer in something that I have not experienced? I get that. But, you know, I really, really love what you said about like finding somebody who's willing to put in the extra work when it's not, you know, sunshine and rainbows and it's tough.
Because it won't be always.
It won't be. And so I think that person is really special. You should hang on to them. You know, this person's putting a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little grace. It's not, you don't have to do it all, right? Like, show up in the best way that you can. Sounds like you're having this communication with your person and he's being really understanding.
Absolutely.
It's more than what you can ask for.
Absolutely. hopefully that felt like it resonated with you. Hopefully it resonated with everybody listening. I hope you took some things from this episode, because I feel like I kind of spilled the beans a little bit on like how my mind actually works and what I really think about these things. Cause I've touched on them in little, you know, spurts and areas, but this was probably my favorite dating conversation that I've had, like in single conversation that I've had.
What I will say about you too is like, obviously you're engaged, you're happily in this relationship, but you actually have a very fresh and like not out of touch perspective for somebody who's not single. Cause a lot of times you have these conversations with people who are in very great, secure relationships, and they kind of have lost touch a little bit with like the single girl era and the dating life and the dating experience, but you're very like in tune with it. I will say. Like I didn't even feel like, I feel like we're on the same page.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that's a testament to you. And just, you know, you really carried that well.
I like to pick myself back up and place myself back in my shoes when I was there. Cause it's not long ago,
but still.
I still feel all the things I felt. I still feel the heartbreak that I've had and all those things. I know that they're there and they shape where I am.
Yeah.
So that's like what I like to help people see.
Not everyone's like that though.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you sharing all this, and I appreciate you being here. This was so fun, by the
way.
Yeah, I know. And we do need to have a vision mindset and like visualization episode. We should do that for real.
I'm so down.
That would be amazing.
We clearly will talk all day.
We could keep talking. If you didn't have somewhere to go, we'd be like, and anyway, so
change the SIM card. Let's
where are we
going?
Let's go again. Where can people find you? You should give yourself a shout out if you want
to. Let me pimp myself out.
I know, right?
Yeah. I can be found on Instagram at Alejandra Nagel. It's my, oh my God. No, I changed my,
oh, did you change your
I don't
handle?
Even know my Instagram name.
I changed my handle today.
My handle. You did today. Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer Candid Sid. I'm Well Said Sid. So.
Okay, rebrand. Okay.
I leaned in. I'm like, it's scary, but I did it.
I love it. Also, I almost got knocked out by your hardware on that hand. She just fist bumped me and like almost like took me out with it. I'm just kidding.
I'm
it's
dead.
Beautiful
I'm
though.
Dead.
Okay, where can you find me? Great question. Hold on.
You're like, why don't you look?
Wait, can I look? I don't know my own handle. This is embarrassing.
That's a good thing. It's kind of like, you're like, whatever, I don't care. I changed mine today. So by the way, if you're looking for me and you type in Candid Sid and you're like, where the hell are you, Sid? It's Well Said Sid. I feel like it just made sense to be Well Said Sid because my podcast is Well Said. It's behind me. Like, I mean, come on.
Perfect.
So just saying. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So, as you know, my name is Alejandra. My nickname is Ale. My friends call me that. So my Instagram name is Ale Doing Things, but there's three E's.
Cute though. I love that.
Yeah. So that's
so
what you can find.
Follow there. You know what? Find her there.
Yeah.
Thank you for this conversation. This was so much fun.
Of course.
Like truly. I hope listening, if you're like, well, I want my advice read. I want my dating advice or whatever advice it is that you need heard, read, seen, whatever it is. Call me, please. 612-470-7569. You can text me. I would rather you call me, but text me if you'd like. You can always write in for advice if you are overseas. I'm actually going to work on getting a new platform so it's easier to call me. But if you're overseas, you can always go to my link in bio and type in there. As always, have a wonderful whatever you're doing week. I will talk to you every single Monday, 5 a.m. CST. And remember, 2024 is a refresh, but don't put so much pressure on this new beginning. It's just about you. It's about being grounded. And I hope today was amazing because I loved this conversation.
Mic drop. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Of course.
It was a
lot
of fun.
I'm glad you were here. Like, this was awesome.
Yeah. Let's do it again.
Okay. Deal.
Okay. Perfect.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.